Alright, we have been looking at the name of Jesus. What it means. What it represents. In John 14, verse 12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Don't forget, in my name, that will I do. He says, "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it." If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen. Praise the Lord. What was the commandment? Huh? What was the commandment? The Ten Commandments? Are the Ten Commandments His commandments? Nope. So what was the commandment? Ask in my name. Praise the Lord. So if you love me, you will use my name. He commanded them to use his name. So if you love me, say, use my name. Now, in John 16, verse 23. "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever," verse 23, "you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Either though you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." So it talks about prayer. It talks about prayer. It first of all talks about works. Then he now talks about prayer. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That's prayer. Whatever you demand in my name, I will do it. That's not prayer. That refers to the works of Jesus. Because he said, "The works that I do," verse 12, "the same you will do." Now, when he speaks about the works of Jesus, he's talking about dominion and authority over the works of darkness. Now, when he talks about prayer, in verse chapter 16, verse 23, he's talking about relationship. So, the name of Jesus represents our relationship with the Father. I'm going to talk about that also, but that's not the subject today. So, the name of Jesus is the believer's authority over the works of darkness, over the works of Satan. The name of Jesus is a believer's authority. Now, what does the name of Jesus, so the name of Jesus is for authority over the works of darkness. The name of Jesus also for our relationship, our fellowship with the Father. Our fellowship with the Father is represented by the name of Jesus. When I pray, for instance, and I say, "Father, in the name of Jesus," you know, sometimes we like to use adjectives. Say, "In the wonderful name of Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus." You see, you are the one that needs to hear that. Not God. Not even the devil. Because the name of Jesus is wonder on its own. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful." Hallelujah. That's miracle. Miraculous. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I mean, I say in the wonderful, in the powerful name of Jesus. There's no less name of Jesus. It's the same name. That name on its own speaks about our relationship with the Father. That we, where we come before the Father in the place of prayer, and we're asking like Jesus. The name of Jesus places us in the stead of Christ, because we are seated in the same place with him. Now, having said that, what does his name represent? Now, listen carefully. His name represents his office, his power. His name represents His exploits. Now, remember we said, men get their names in three ways. Remind me. Number one, by birth, which is by inheritance. Number two, by conquest. Number three. Now, did Jesus get his name in those three ways? He did that. Hebrews 1, 4 and 5. He had obtained a more excellent name than the angels by inheritance. When he was raised from the dead, when he was born again. We also saw that he got his name by conquest. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Out of our Lord Jesus Christ, who grants unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the inheritance, or the glory of inheritance of riches in the saints, riches of his glory and of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, verse 19, towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right and far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Gave him to bear all things to the church. So he says there that Jesus got his name by exploit, by conquest. Colossians 2:15. His power, principalities and power made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Got his name by conquest. He also got his name by bestowal. God has given him a name that is above every name. He was given a name. So, Jesus got his name in those three ways. And I have explained to you that the name of Jesus in the four Gospels is not the same as the name of Jesus in the epistles. How many of you have seen that so far? If that's clear to you, let me see your hand. That's very clear to you? Good. If you have been coming to church, it will be clear to you. Okay? Now, last week I made a statement at the close of the service, and I felt I needed to explain to many of us, because I don't make empty statements. I love to explain what I say at the risk of sounding too explanatory. I told you there's a particular practice in the church, and people do it today, that they got a hold of, and that practice is an heresy. An heresy is a deviation from the message of Christ in order to have followers. Now, Matthew 28, let's go there. Praise the Lord. I want you to pay attention now. You need to pay very good attention. Matthew 28. How many of you know what I mean? The statement I made at the end of last service. What was it? Praise the Lord. I remember saying this 1997. When I was teaching this subject. And then, you know, someone just took a lot of offense. Doesn't matter, really. The word of God is an offense to them that believe not. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And I told you last week, Jesus didn't say it. Because it has no bearing with what he said. Now, how do I know? We're going to find out together now, anyway. But you see, the Bible was translated in such a way that we had the original book, original manuscripts of the Bible. And then later on, was translated to the Latin Vulgate. Because the common language then was Latin. So it depends on the language that was being used. Now, when that was done, of course, Bible scholars will want to get their materials from the Greek, since the original language of that book was Greek. So the Latin Vulgate was translated back to what we have as the King James. Now, in study, we found out that in the book, in the material before the Latin Vulgate, this statement, for instance, in Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, does not have a history in the Greek. It was derived from a Latin connotation. Now, besides all my academic foray, we're going to see it together in the book anyway. So don't get scared. Amen? You know, this statement was never made by Jesus. He didn't say so. For instance, when you hear, they say, this kind goeth not but by fasting and prayer, Jesus never said it. Because he had explained himself in Matthew 17, verse 20. Say, if you have faith, you will say, shall be done unto you. How would he not say, but this kind goeth? What kind? Casting out devils. But they were casting out devils in Matthew 10 and Luke 10 and Luke 9. And they said, they are subject to us through your name. They didn't say by fasting. So many good translations have taken that out. Praise the Lord. Are you following me here? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, some of you are Catholics. Where's Nora? Are you a Catholic? I'm a Catholic. Never a Roman one. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I have names like Antonia, Samalina. You must be Catholic. Okay, so, you know, we say, in the name of the Father, right? And of the Son, right? And of the Holy Ghost. And we think, and people still say it today, even in the Pentecostal churches. You know, we're Pentecostals. I love Pentecostals a lot. I'm not a Pentecostal because I'm not a Jew. But I love Pentecostals and I love their thinking. Now, this statement, now, in Bible interpretation, there's a law that helps you to understand the Bible. It's a study skill. There are three ways to interpret and to get the meanings of things in the scriptures. Number one is called the law of single mention, where you have something referred to in the scriptures once, and you will never find it again anywhere. Now, that kind of statement can never become doctrinal. Are you there? Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, right? Let every word be established. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 2. But if you have just one witness, even as a lawyer, you know, we have lawyers here too. Do we have lawyers? Okay, you are, sir. Because I was looking around. We have lawyers here. You don't rely, there's something called corroboration of evidence. Somebody comes to say, I was there. I saw it. Now, there is a law of single mention. Never, you can never bring anything out of that. For instance, when you read in 1 Corinthians 15:29, I think, that says that, and then the baptism of death. You won't find that statement again in the Bible. So, you want to do a series on the baptism of death. Now, there's a law of double mention, where something is mentioned in the Bible more than once. That is, at least twice. Or three times or more. Now, with that, you put the scriptures together so you understand the meaning. Now, if you read it from Romans, read it from Ephesians, then Colossians, you can have an understanding of what he's saying. How many understand what I'm talking about here? For example, when you look at the right hand of the Father, when you say, in my Father's house, there are many mansions there, people think it's heaven. But by the time you read through John 14 and read John 15 and John 16, and read the epistles and the book of Acts, you know the Father's house is the right hand. Is that clear? For the salvation, can a man lose his salvation? Can a man lose his salvation? Of course, by the time you read John 10:28-29, John 3:16, John 5:24, John 5:26, John 6:6-3, Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 10:14. Jude 24. Romans 8:31-38. You know that a man cannot lose his salvation because he never handed it anyway. That's a law of... Is it double mention? That's a lot of doubles mention. Amen. Double mentions. Now, there's a law of emphatic mention where probably it's mentioned in just one place, but it was exhaustively discussed. The issue of tongues. You will find tongues discussed by Peter, James, or John. You will find tongues discussed in Ephesians and Colossians. You will find tongues mentioned, will only be mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians. But where it was mentioned, it was explained in such a way that it was clear. That's the law of emphatic mention. Now, in the law of emphatic mention, you can build a doctrine on that. But the law of single mention shows you, be careful. You can never build a doctrine on it. Now, years ago in my study of the Bible, I applied this. And I saw that that statement had just a single mention. So I decided to prod a bit further. What could have happened? Why would Jesus all of a sudden say, go and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son? And he's talking, and he's the Son. Can you imagine? Did he say, in my name? Say, in the name of the Father? Of the Son? As though the Son is his elder brother? And then the Holy Spirit. So I was wondering, why would he make that kind of statement? Praise the Lord. Amen? I hope you're following me here. You're in Saints Community. Amen? Good. So I was wondering. So, and I told myself, well, Jesus made this statement at the concluding part of his ministry. And we have four accounts of what he said. The Matthew account, the Mark account, the Luke account, and the John account. So, let's go ahead and read all the accounts, whether they agree with what the Latin translation of Matthew 28:19 got to say. You know, many things were passed down to us that have a Catholic thinking. For instance, the cross. The cross that people take, you find Christians put the cross in their house. Symbols. It's a Catholic theology of using symbols represent idol worship. The pictures of Jesus. You'll find anybody in the church of the scriptures practice those things. Have a cross, have a picture, and all stuff like that. But see, we've got it. You'll find people in the 21st century non-Catholic churches put cross in the church. So what it is the cross? And then the cross they have is like letter T. Right? But the cross of the Bible is just a pole. A tree. It's a tree. Not a cross. There's a Catholic thinking. Praise the Lord. I love Catholics, don't forget. I love the Pope. I love to kiss his ring one day. What makes men... Look, let's see. Come on. Mark 16 renders it this way. Mark 16. Are you with me? Are you with me now? You know, I told you in this series, they're going to think. Can you remember I told you? They're going to think. Always learn to think in church. Mark 16. Let's see it now. Go ye into all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you see that? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now look at verse 17. Let's go. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. and the sick shall recover. So in whose name were we to minister? He said, in my name. Now look at Luke. Luke 24. Jesus is talking. Verse 46. Are you there? Luke 24, 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer. Are you there? And to rise from the dead the third day. Let's take verse 47 together. Let's go. In whose name? In whose name? In his name. In whose name? In the name of Jesus. Repentance and remission be preached in his name among how many nations? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20. John 20. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 20. Verse 30. And many other signs, and truly did Jesus in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31. Let's go. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 30, go on. That believing you might have what? Through whose name? So we've seen that that statement, the name of the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Spirit, was never repeated by anybody who gave us the last day's account of Jesus. Now, maybe they forgot. So maybe those who remembered it practiced it in the book of Acts. So let us look at the book of Acts. Whether anybody said anything mentioning a formula, because I call it a formula, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 21. Acts 2:21. Now this is Peter preaching. Now when he was done preaching, I mean he was preaching and talked about Joel's prophecy. So he says in verse 21, let's go. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On who? The name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13 says the same thing. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 36. Verse 36. Are you there? Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, then when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's take verse 38 together. Let's take it again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son. Name of who? In the name of who? Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The name of Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 3, Peter and John, there was no James, went to the temple to pray. At the beautiful gate, they met this crippled man. Now, this crippled man needed something from them. And see what they said. Verse 6. Let's take it together. Then Peter said, everybody, I want everybody to read it actually. We're studying the Bible. Can we go? Let's go.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you, in the name of the Father and of the Son, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, and people, you know, ran to Peter and all that, and he said, you men of Jerusalem, or sorry, Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, holiness, we have made this man walk? Now, it says in verse 4:13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus. He has what? He has glorified his son Jesus. Don't forget that. Whom you have delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired the murder to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead. Wherefore, we are his witnesses. Let's take verse 16 together. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So what made the man strong? The name of Jesus. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. I'll read verse 10. You read verse 11. And then we'll read verse 12 together. Be it known unto you, chapter 4 verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11. Verse 12 together. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise the Lord. How clear can that be? There's no name but the name of Jesus. Look at verse 30. Now, when they were to pray, and then they threatened them and they said they weren't going to allow them to preach anymore. And so those folks went around to preach. I was to pray, pardon me. And when they prayed, they said, oh Lord God, in verse 23, they began to pray. And then in verse 24, verse 25, and then when they got to verse 29, and Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant of thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, let's take it together. By the stretching forth of thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Done by whose name? The name of Jesus. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Why was this so? Because in verse 31, okay, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus was given that authority. Now look at chapter 8. Verse 40 now. Chapter 4 again. Get back to chapter 5, sorry. Verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them they should not speak in whose name? In whose name? In the name of... So they were speaking in whose name? The name of Jesus. The name of the Son of God. And let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 5. Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Philip preached Christ unto them. Now, when Philip was done preaching Christ to them, the Bible tells us that these folks believed. They had the word. Now, look at verse 12, everybody. Verse 12. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning what? And what? They were what? Both. So what was the name they used to preach? The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Okay, let me start from verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Let's take 16 together. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19. So Acts 19. So Acts 10 first. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach his speech that talking in the house of Cornelius unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge. He was the one ordained to be in charge of the quick and the dead. 43 together. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. Through whose name? Through whose name? Come and talk to me. The name of Jesus. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5, this is when Paul met those folks at Ephesus. There said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which will come after him, that's on Jesus Christ, on Christ Jesus. Let's take verse 5 together. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have you seen a consistency? Have you ever heard the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? You know, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Just like, you know, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Why was that? Because that's another. Let me leave that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we do not use the name of the Holy Ghost or the name of the Father. Jesus said, in my name. That was consistent in all his words. Now, look at Romans 6. Romans 6. I'll start from Romans 1. Romans 1 first. Then put your hands in Romans 6. Are you in Romans 1? If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say oh me. Romans 1, alright. Verse 3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received what? Grace. An apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For his name. That's the name of Jesus, the name of the Son. Now, you know, remember when Jesus appeared to Ananias and to talk to him about Saul of Tarsus? Can you remember? Go there. Let's see that. Acts 9. Acts 9. For his name. Acts 9. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, talking to Ananias now, go thy way, for he is, that Saul, a chosen vessel unto me to bear whose name? My name. Before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Romans 6. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans 6. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Into Christ. So I submit to you, Jesus never said it. I don't know if you can see something here. Let me see if you can see something here. He never said it. Because he had told us in John 5 that the Father has committed all judgment to who? The Son. He had told us, how can you? Now, let's think about it again. In verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to us. Is that what he said? All authority in heaven is given to us. Who is us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye therefore, teaching all the nations. Now, I'll tell you what he said. And I'll tell you the heresy there. How many of you have a translation that goes like, go into all the world and make disciples? Who has disciples in his own version? Making disciples. Instead of teaching. They're not even looking at your Bible. Okay, you all use the King James. Because of me? Who has making disciples? Nobody? What do you have? What version is that? Huh? NIV? What does it say? Verse 19. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, when it says in the name of the Father, they put that there. The next statement should be making disciples. How do you make disciples? Teaching them. Hallelujah. See that? Can you see that? Because there was nowhere we were told to baptize anybody. He said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But that was the only scripture that lends credence to the fact that the disciples were commanded to baptize. And this is an imputation by people who wanted to start infant baptism, so they can declare people saved even though they have not believed in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Why are you all quiet? Praise the Lord. Am I saying something strange? Can't you read it? Is it there in the book? Jesus never said, all authority is given to me. So he says, go ye therefore, making disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you. Lo, we are with you. Is that what he said? I am with you. He was talking about himself. Praise the Lord. Now, are we trying to say there is no Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Abba. We didn't say that. But there's nothing called the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. That's an heresy. So in case you are cutting your birthday cake, the name of Father and Son and Holy Ghost is just as good as saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Because it has no bearing with the scriptures. But why wouldn't we? Why don't we have the name of the Father?
What would be that name? Jehovah God. Name of the Son, Jesus. What about the Holy Ghost? Emiabata. Don't bother to say what I just said. What would be his name? If you give the Father what? God. Or Jehovah Almighty El Shaddai, King of Kings. Then what do you give the Son? Just Jesus. Simply, you just, I'm simply Jesus. You know, the three of them, the Father says, I'm Jehovah. The Son says, simply Jesus. The Holy Ghost says, no, Christ, Christ, Christ. The Holy Ghost says, I am Spirit. Hallelujah. There's only a name given. Hallelujah. There's only one name, praise God, that is given among men. The name of Jesus. Glory to his name. Are you still there? Now let's see. Why is the Father with no name? Philippians 2. Don't forget. Verse 5. Let this man be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 5. Who being in the form of God, found it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's take verse 9 together. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, hallelujah, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth. Well, things are not supposed to be there really, but we'll talk about that later. And things under the earth, amen. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to whose glory? To the glory of God the Father. So the name of Jesus glorifies the Father. Hallelujah. They are not struggling for prominence. You don't mention my name, you see what I'll do? I will disown you. No. He gave him the name. Praise God. He bestowed on him the name. Above every name. Glory to God. Why? Because Jesus sits at the right hand. Don't forget what the right hand means. The right hand means I'm giving to you what? All my authority. All my powers. All my privileges. So Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, is exalted. Salvation can only come by him. Healing can only come by him. The preaching of the gospel can only be done in his name. Why? He sits at the right hand of God. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit and continue to sit on my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. Praise the Lord. The Father has given to him all authority. John 5. Authority to resurrect. Authority to give life. Authority to judge. Authority to reveal. Everything is already in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you learning something out there? Come on, guys, are you following this? So the Father has bestowed on him. He got his name by bestower. That is, they honor Jesus with the name. Now, what about the Holy Ghost? Watch this. John 14. What about the Holy Ghost? John 14. Glory to God. Glory to God. John 14. Are you there? Run. Verse 16. Jesus is talking here. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he, the comforter now, may abide with you forever. So who asks the Father? Jesus. We're not supposed to ask the Father for the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to receive. He's the one that asked. Now, notice this. When would he ask the Father? Before he died? No, when he rose from the dead. So he now has the authority to give the Holy Ghost. See? How do we know? Let's read. John 14, verse 26. Are you there? Oh, glory. I like this. John 4. Now, who asked the Father for the Holy Ghost? Who? Are we supposed to ask for the Holy Ghost? No. We don't have so. We never had such authority. Jesus had the authority when he rose from the dead and he gave the Holy Ghost to us. Now, look at John 14, 26. Let's go. Together, let's see. But the Comforter, everybody now, John 14, 26. Let's go. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in whose name? In my name. So the Holy Ghost came in whose name? In the name of... So it is in the name of Jesus. In my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, 26. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, what will he do? He will testify of me. 27. You shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is the testifier of the Son. John 16. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Let's take verse 13 together. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of truth. For he shall not speak of himself, whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify who? Me. For he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say, he shall take of mine. Can you see that? The center point of God's revelation is Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Are you there? Colossians 2:9. Someone say the name of Jesus. Oh, you don't like that. Say it, the name of Jesus. That's the name. Praise the Lord. That's the name. Colossians 2. Verse 9. Verse 9. Colossians 2 verse 9. Are you there? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Everything is in him. That's why Romans 8:9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of who? Of God dwells in you. Now it says, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of it. Now, the Holy Spirit is now called the Spirit of Christ. Why? He shall bear witness of who? Christ. So when you say, in the name of Jesus, that's the name of the Father. Because he now is the revelation, the witness. He bears the authority of the Father. Says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Son of God. Spirit of Christ. Verse 10, Romans 8. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. For we are not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Say, if you through the deeds of to the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Now, he says, as many as are led by who? The Spirit of God. They had, I've had people say that we have the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Christ. That's ignorance gone to seed. Ignorance gone to seed. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 14. Verse 15 now says, for we have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear, but the spirit of who? The spirit of adoption. Who was around when I thought sons of God? Now we're the sons of God. What spirit of adoption? The spirit of sonship. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? That we are what? So the spirit of God is the spirit of the Son. Now look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4 makes it clearer. Galatians 4. Who's got a Bible here? I'll have your Bible. Galatians 4. Come on. Galatians 4. How do you read this? Looks more like narrow is the way. Galatians 4. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, everybody. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Hallelujah. So what do we have? The Spirit of His Son. That's why the New Testament refers to the Spirit of the prophets as the Spirit of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Spirit of Christ. So the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Why? It will only bear witness of who? It is to glorify who? Christ. Look at this. Try to open the way now. What did I ask you to open it? Forgotten that? 1 Peter 1. Hallelujah. So some of you are just not reading your Bible. I'm wondering, what's going on in your mind? A serious Christian, you're hearing truth of God's word, you're opening your Bible because you want to see it. You know, the man in the projector, he put scriptures on the screen. Never do that again. Never. We don't encourage that in this church. If I catch you using phone to read the Bible, I'll call you spiritually. So they are using your phone, they are checking scripture, they are Facebooking. I'm in church. Is the Bible too heavy for you to hold? Savior God. Where were we now? First what? 1 Peter 1 now. I have a wonderful treasure. Heaped of God with a measure. I have a wonderful BlackBerry. I have a wonderful iPod. Have it? Read your iPod prayer. Search the scriptures. You punch the scriptures. First be the one now. Come on. Oh, sorry. I've harassed you. I'm taking your Bible. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, talking about the Old Testament, and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that will come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did testify beforehand, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that shall come. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear, everybody? Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ because it will bear witness of Jesus. It will bear witness of Jesus. So you know something. And I this morning as I was thinking about this service and this time, I told myself, there's so many things that have robbed us of faith. You see, like I told you earlier, some people just give us the cross. People just take the cross everywhere. Put the cross in their homes. Some people wear cross, bracelets. Right? Pendants. I just don't wrap Rob Stars now have it.
Hey,
hip hop rain.
Hey,
oh, with the same cross.
Hey, oh,
Chris Cross gonna make it up.
You
know that one? Got an OPP. Yeah, you know. That's some good. There are different ones that have been sung now. I call me T-Pod. I've never heard it before. Somebody sang it to me. The spiritual song. Amen. Where were we now?
So, you know, we have the cross. So we have cross. You see, carry cross. Letter T. All over. So you will still have a brazen Jesus on it. I have airy.
You have believed in a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we have now is the preaching of the cross. The message. Hallelujah.
You know, they say, go into all the world and carry my cross. Still, it's not there.
Still, preach the word.
Christianity is lived by faith. Not by water. Water baptism.
You dip yourself into it three times. You say, in the name of, that's how I was baptized. 23 years ago.
Running water.
In the name of the Father. Boom. Of the Son. Boom. And of the Holy Ghost. Boom.
So what name do you want? I was too. I said, Christian. Christian.
That's where I got Chris from. Not my father. It wasn't my utterance. Some guys have become intelligent. They use swimming pool. Name of the Father. And of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You get that?
So we believed in things like,
you know,
cross. They gave it to us. Now, I submit to you that the practice of what we call the Holy Communion was given to us by the same sources to symbolize everything that faith should represent. To symbolize everything that faith should represent. You know, the Passover, now people say the communion. No. It's a Passover. The Passover started in Exodus 12 and 13 when God took Israel out of Egypt. So it is a ceremonial practice for them. Gave them the unleavened bread to represent lack of sin, sinlessness in the camp. Gave them, you know, asked them to kill the lambs, a male lamb, spotless, to put the blood on their doorpost. Now, over the years, it was ceremonized into drinking wine. Four cups. There are four cups. How do you know that? You know that now. Four cups. One representing redemption, one deliverance, whatever, sanctification, then restoration. Four cups. That's why it would appear that the rendering of Luke and Matthew about the communion was different. Why? Because they were talking about two different cups. Praise the Lord. But I think we Pentecostals like just one cup. Took one cup. Four cups from Exodus 13. So Jesus was eating the Passover. He had been eating the Passover for 33 years. He didn't start the Passover. So because they had been practicing it for years, he now told them that this is my body. In other words, that was to symbolize his body in the Old Testament. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood. Was there blood in his hands? No. It was wine. What was he telling them? He was showing them the meaning of the Passover. I am the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ is our Passover.
When Jesus came, the Word became flesh. It's no longer a symbol. Amen. It's no longer a prophecy. The Word became flesh. And in reality, He gave His body. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, was that bread and wine? No. What do you mean eat? How do you eat in the Bible? By words. You eat by words. The day you said with your mouth, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose from the dead for me. You ate His flesh and you drank His blood and you have eternal life. Hallelujah. You see that? But folks say, well, I want to feel bread. I want to feel it in my hands. This is my, and they cut it into pentomic sizes like that. Say, take it. Yeah. And, so you, what are you feeling? The blood? No. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. His body has been broken for us. By stripes we are healed. When I say that, what am I doing? I'm eating it. For by the mad Bible says, by the fruit of our lips, a man's belly is satisfied. The Bible says the tongue of the righteous is like the tree of life. It speaks words. And you see people scare others. They say, well, if you eat up, if you try to eat that thing and you are not, and you're committing sin, you will die. Oh. Years ago, I was going to church. You know, because I went for another program, so I was going for this service. Communion service. I saw this brother going home. I said, why are you going home? He said, it's communion service. When the pastor finished, everybody, I think about two or three people were left in the service. Be careful if you eat it. But someone made the wine and he was have tasted it. Someone baked the bread. Maybe he's a Muslim. Then the Christian said, it's the body of Christ. Some folks say, no. It's not the bread. It's when the man of God speaks to it. This is his body. You are right. What an heresy. The Word of God is our testimony. We don't live by feelings. Praise the Lord. Just like water baptism. Acts 1:5. Jesus said, John baptized with water, I baptized with the Holy Ghost. John said it too. He said, I will baptize with water. He is greater than me. He will baptize with what? The Holy Ghost. He is greater than me. He will increase. That means water will decrease. The Holy Ghost will increase. Praise God. But I think in this age we have more of water than the Holy Ghost. Say, what the Word says I am. Say, I've been baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a partaker of His flesh and blood. By His stripes, I'm already healed. Hallelujah. By His blood, I'm already justified. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you know that? By the Word. It's by the Word. It's not by tasting bread. It's by the Word. Religion has taken the Word away from the churches and given us practices. Practices. But in the faith community, we arrive the lordship of the Word. Hallelujah. Demonstrating the influence of the Spirit of God. The Word no more. Amen. Christ Jesus is the message. See? Is it wrong to take bread and wine? No. But it's a better covenant. On a better promise. Jesus has already died. You know what He told them? He said, the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words. Say, I have life. By the Word of God. I have life. By the Word of God. You know, I was telling someone last night, we're talking, we're chatting on Facebook about 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. What was I doing? I was studying my Bible, I was praying, and I was waiting for the results in the Edo State. God, no, sir. You say, ha, Pastor!
Haven't you had a nice sermon?
Praise God. The poop of the pudding is in the eating.
Okay now, what was I?
Get me, Facebook. I was not on Facebook. I'm in church. Okay, now, I said that.
I was talking to the person. I said, did you observe that the children of Israel, before the law was given, never died because of their sins? They lived by grace. They were not any better than Egyptians. God just gave them bread and wine and sacrifices to stand in their place. Grace. But the day the law was given, thou shalt not, 3,000 died. 3,000 died straight. Pouah! The day Christ came to our hearts, Acts 2, 3,000 got born again. Does it not look somehow? The day the law was given, 3,000 died. Because the law is called the law of sin and death. You cannot be justified by doing something before God. The day faith came, the Holy Ghost came, 3,000 were added to the law. Hallelujah. The law kills, grace gives life. By grace are you saved. Through faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man boast. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful? Amen. So, you know, we just have some things in our minds. Religious thinking. Symbols. Bread, wine, water. Ask someone. He said, no, it's not that the water baptism is anything, but it's to demonstrate your faith. How? Do you know, John baptized thousands. Can you remember? John baptized thousands of people. And he kept coming. Even the Pharisees came before they killed Jesus. They were baptized with water. But were they saved? No. If you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll go to hell. The baptism with the Holy Ghost has replaced successfully and eternally the baptism of water. Praise the Lord. Do we practice baptism in this church? Yes, by preaching. When we preach, you believe, you're baptized, you're saved. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Say, by faith I stand. Say, by faith I stand. So the name of Jesus, that's where we were, is your authority. It's your authority. That's the name that the Holy Spirit came to glorify. That's the name that the Father has exalted. The name of a man. A man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? So Jesus today is the man that sits at the right hand of the Father, taking the place of Adam. I'll close now. Taking his place. God has given man all authority. So Jesus came to take the place that Adam never sat. Today, we have a man seated at the right hand of God. That's why the name of Jesus is the name of a man. It was a common name in Jerusalem. Jesus, Yeshua. So it's not J-E-S-U-S that is the name. When we say the name of Jesus, we look at the right hand of the Father, where all authority has been bestowed. God has exalted a man. And when he did, the Bible says we also have been raised together with him. Hallelujah. And we sit at the right hand of God today. Hallelujah.
what the word says I am. I have the name of what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Far above principalities, power, might, and dominion. I walk in the name. I live in the name. I preach in the name. I heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Put your hands over heaven.